Risen.
The word of God from Jesus, actually part of a prayer he prayed on the night he was betrayed, gathered with his disciples in the upper room for the Passover, which he said he eagerly desired to celebrate with them. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be where I am, to see my glory that you have given me before the foundation of the world. This is God's word. In Jesus' name. Today, the seventh Sunday of Easter, comes between two great events. Last Thursday, the church around the world celebrated the ascension of our Lord. Here in this congregation, of course, with the divine service of the preaching of the gospel and the Lord's Supper. This next Sunday will be Pentecost, the other great event. And that will be the descending of the Spirit from on high, just as Jesus promised, to come and enliven his church so that she might have her full faith and confidence in the risen and ascended Lord, her Savior Jesus. This is one of my favorite Sundays. It's kind of peculiar. It's really part of an in-between time. Ascension, Thursday, Pentecost, next Sunday. And Jesus described this period in the scriptures as a time of waiting. Mothers know a thing or two about waiting and an in-between time between the conception of the child that they carry in their womb. The other great event, of course, being that child's birth, which that mother gives as a gift to the little one within her womb. Though your mothers have been directly part of your life from the very beginning, and by the way, fathers can't make a claim on that, mothers are directly and physically involved with their children from the very moment of their conception. When you came into the world, though, your mother brought you in, mothers have been and part of and have seen all kinds of comings and goings as your life grows and activities increase, comings and going constantly. Some of these comings and goings have been maybe trivial, although probably not in your mom's eyes, like a child coming in back home after having played during the whole day with their friends. While some of these comings and goings have been momentous, life-changing, hard for a mom to have to kind of wrap her mind around. Like when you come home from college, or when you go off to get married, or when a child is very sick, that weighs on a mother's shoulders. We had this happen in our own home about 3 weeks ago where Joseph got very, very sick, and you know, you get worried about that. And it's like he leaves because he's always talking. And he got so sick that he spent a whole day not saying a single word. You know he's really sick then. But thankfully, God restored health and Joseph came back to us. He was chattering then once he felt better. Your mom is part of all these things, the goings and comings of life. In fact, today on Mother's Day, we have to kind of get unique, I guess, in our own home. Because one son can't be there for lunch, one son can't be there for supper, so we're having two different celebrations because their lives are such that there's comings and goings constantly. And that's really what this time of the church year is kind of about. Jesus, the one who came, who accomplished our salvation, in fact describes that accomplishment by his death on the cross as in fact a going. In the upper room when he prayed the prayer that we heard from John 17, Jesus said, I'm going to the Father, which means he would die a lowly and shameful and painful death on the cross. But that coming was followed, or that going was followed by his coming, when he came to the disciples on the third day, having risen from the dead to bring them great joy. And with them for 40 days, he showed himself alive with many convincing proofs. The nail marks in the hands and feet, the spear mark in his side, his own voice, which they knew, having been with him from his baptism all the way up until his resurrection. They know the voice of their good shepherd, Jesus. And then after 40 days, in fact, the church calls these the great 40 days. Jesus was going again. This time he ascended into heaven just like he had said to attain his throne from the Father to rule over all things for your benefit and mine. That was his coming, or his going, but he will yet come again on the last day. He has promised this. And in the meanwhile, he promised that the Spirit would come to enliven the church through the word and sacraments, creating faith in Christ and connecting us to Jesus with an unshakable connection, at least from God's side. Mothers, they see all these comings and goings in life and the changes in their children. And I think there's nothing more that a mother wants than to have her children with her, around her. This is a motherly reality. These people that came forth from her, she loves to have them around her and with her. And for you as Christian mothers, your desire is much like Jesus in the gospel. I want my disciples with me. You want your children with you, not just physically, but spiritually. You want them to live in their baptism and to join you in the faith and to be in God's house and eventually to be at the heavenly feast. That's the goal. You don't give birth to a child for them to die. You give birth to them that they might live, and not just life in this world, but life forever, to live by God's grace. And then motherhood then comes into its fulfillment. Jesus says that he's going, and yet he promises to come to us, not to leave us as orphans, but to come to us. I will come to you, and I will send you another comforter, the helper, the Holy Spirit, who will be with you forever. The Spirit's love, the comfort he brings, even deeper than even a mother's comfort and love. This Holy Spirit does not fail you. He holds you up and uplifts you, and he is always at your side. Death cannot destroy his work. How blessed are they who have not seen, and yet whose faith, the work of the Spirit, whose faith has constant been, for they eternal life shall win. Alleluia, we sang earlier in this Easter season. We must admit that our love for Christ has often been weak and wavering. Even our love for our children, or as children, our love for our parents or our mother in particular, leaves something to be desired. Our faith, likewise, has been stretched by the various tribulations we face in this fallen and ever-changing world. Sometimes our own children go down paths that lead them away from Christ, and that brings grief. Our confidence, though, in all these circumstances and all the changes, the comings and goings of life, is always found where it's ever been, in God's Word, in his promises. That's where our joy is. That's where life is found. You know, we don't often think about it consciously, but we rely on it. And that's kind of the same thing with our mothers. We don't maybe always, every single day, think of them fully and appreciate them as fully as we ought, gifts from God. Maybe once a year or a couple other times during the course of the year, we give conscious thought and deeper thought to just who these people are. These women are mothers. Yet God does not forget us. Every moment of every day, indeed even from before the foundation of the world, he knew you and loved you and chose you. That love moving into action to claim you as his own so that you might have life and enjoy it with him forever. God does not forget us. In Isaiah, he says that though it's conceivable for a mother to forget her child, he promises you, I will never forget you. And later in that same prophet Isaiah, God promises, as a mother comforts her child, so will I, in astounding ways, comfort you. That's what our focus is on this seventh Sunday of Easter, the comfort found in God and his word and promises alone. Jesus told his disciples on the night he was betrayed there in the upper room, I'm going to the Father. He would be leaving them, but not as orphans, those abandoned, those without any support or love in this world. He says, I will come to you. And yes, he did. On the third day, he came to them, bringing them joy that has no limit. And he promised them this other helper, the Holy Spirit, who would be with them forever. In his great prayer, Jesus also prayed for you. You might not realize it, but he was thinking of you on that night of turmoil in his own life, praying that you would be solid and secure in your faith in him through the word of the apostles who were with him. We don't see Jesus' glory for which he prayed. He wants us to be with him, to be gathered around him, to enjoy life and peace forever, and to see his glory face to face, the glory given him by the Father from before the foundation of the world. We don't see anything close to that yet, but we do hear. We hear his word and promises, which are ours, written down in the scriptures. Many of these promises he's already kept. Many are ongoing and are being kept, and some are yet to come. But we know, because of who he is, faithful and true, he will keep those as well. Jesus didn't just pray that we would be gathered to him, that we would get to see his glory, which he eagerly desires, but he gave us his holy meal, that we might eat and drink our salvation, yes, his own body and blood, during our pilgrimage, as we are away from the Lord yet in this earthly life, waiting for that day when he will bring us to be with him, he with us, all the saints gathered around in great joy and glory forever. We don't see glory, but we do receive forgiveness, life, salvation, these promises of Jesus in his testament, which he spoke on that night when he was betrayed. In this meantime, in the in-between time, between his ascension and when he comes back to bring us to our heavenly home, we live by faith, not sight. We live by confidence in God's word and not all the changes and comings and goings we see around us in this fallen and changing world. We live by trusting in Christ's promises. We live by the work of the Holy Spirit who connects us to Jesus through faith. We live calling out to God in prayer day after day, crying as children to their Father. One of these prayers, one of the church's prayers, not just your personal prayer, but our prayer, is recorded in the epistle reading from the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22. And like all true praying, it depends on God's word that comes before and his promise. So listen again to Revelation 22, where the risen and ascended Lord Jesus says this, "I am coming soon." What's our response? What's our prayer? "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." There is the prayer of the Christian church based on his word and promise. I'm coming soon, and so we pray, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." Life has its comings and goings. So does our faith. So do our families. So do congregations. But we have Christ's promise sure and guaranteed. We have that promise delivered over in his body and blood here in the sacrament until we come to the heavenly feast. Until that day, we do not cease to pray, "Come, Lord Jesus." In light of that man, that Savior, and his promises, we will pray a week from today, not just "Come, Lord Jesus," but "Come, Holy Ghost, God and Lord. Be with us in all the changes and chances of this mortal life, with all its ups and downs, all of its comings and goings within our families and congregations. Come, Holy Ghost, God and Lord, fix our hearts where true joys are found in Christ, in his promises, the Son of God, the Son of Mary. Amen. We join together in confessing the Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed found on the back cover of your hymnal. Please stand.